Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
My name is Andre Hinton. I'm here standing in for Abe Thompson and Chris Gorog here on the New Cyber Frontier. Welcome back. Today we have on the show Robert Schwertner. And Robert, I'm just gonna give you a second here to tell a little bit about yourself and what you do and who you are. So without further ado, here's Robert.
Yes, hello Andre. First of all, I would like to thank you, Andre, very much for giving me the opportunity to speak to your crowd. My name is, yes, as you said, Robbie Schwertner. I'm also known as Crypto Robbie in the blockchain sphere. Cool. That's where I'm coming from. I come from the blockchain industry, which is very young, very fresh, and I'm an expert, actually, an energy expert, and I worked maybe over 15 years in the energy research sector, and that's where blockchain came up some 4 years ago as a means to use blockchain. And so I didn't come from the cryptocurrency side, but from the blockchain side.
Thank you for that, Robert. I tell you, I'm in the cyber industry myself, and one of the things that I have kind of come across in with Chris Gorog as well, he's probably one of the leading researchers in blockchain technology, and he's really working hard on getting that in the industry. And it right now, I just don't see it widely used and looked at. A lot of people aren't circulating the use of blockchain, except for in cryptocurrency. Talk a little bit more about how it's being used currently in your company.
Yes, actually, I work for several blockchain projects, startups, but also for large enterprises, corporations, which want to adapt blockchain. So it's all kinds of industries, banking, energy sector, mobility, car, retail. So it's really a wide variety. Also work for a cybersecurity company. So it's really a broad spectrum. And they all want to first, at the beginning, as we want to know, what can we do with blockchain? And there are two main questions. One is for these enterprises, how can we increase our business with blockchain? How can we increase our revenue? And the second question is, how does blockchain threaten our business? And I think, as I come from also from the security side, how can we be threatened? And this question is a very interesting one. So blockchain can threaten businesses. They can make a large corporation lose a lot of money, a lot of turnover. So in general, that's blockchain is a very secure and safe database. And so, that's for now.
I kind of like that third question. That third question you asked about how can it, bring revenue to a company? I think if any company wants to know an answer to what they're going to get from blockchain, it would be how can it bring revenue? Everybody's always talking about and thinking about their bottom line. Now, we were thinking more from a cybersecurity perspective, but I'd like to know a little bit more about that question.
Yeah, I mean, blockchain is quite a simple concept. It's not a very sophisticated concept. Once it is implemented, the idea of blockchain, of course, is quite revolutionary. It's a distributed database, distributed ledger technology, and this technology can lead to new revolutionary approaches. That means, whereas the internet with servers has a centralized approach, so you can still hack servers of Facebook, of Google, these servers are very vulnerable.
1 second, Robert, and we're going to come. We have to take one quick break for our sponsors. So we're just going to take a real quick second, and I'd like to hear more about that. Just give me just 1 minute here. We're going to take a break for us.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Here at New Cyber Frontier, and we are on with Robert Schwertner. And right before we broke, Robert, you were really going over, before I interrupted you, if you could continue on about what companies and how they're actually benefiting from a revenue perspective with blockchain.
I mean, with blockchain technology, you can work on protocol layer, you can also work on platform layer, or you can work on the individual use cases. So these are the three layers. The protocol level and the platform level, and the whole idea of blockchain is that not only one company will benefit, that only one gets rich, you know, fast. That implies with Bitcoin and all this hype, it's really seen as a way to get rich fast, but it's not. Blockchain technology, the underlying technology of cryptocurrencies, can do much more, and it can bring together users, developers, and also companies, and together, for instance, let's take a mobility platform. So I at the moment, I'm here in Berlin, as an Austrian in Berlin, and I want to go tomorrow to Hamburg. I don't want to think about how I go, I just want from Berlin, this 2 hours ride to Hamburg. I want an app which gives me the opportunity to show me, okay, I can rent a car, I can use Uber, I can use the train, or you can use the plane or the bike. Some make sense for 2 hours train ride, some make not sense. But I want, and with blockchain, you could better involve the users, involve the suppliers of transport, of mobility. You can use also shared car, it can have really a multi, it can be a multiple platform where everybody, a tokenized economy, can benefit, not only one corporation. And that's the big difference in the philosophy. The platform itself is usually a non-profit foundation, like Ethereum, like EOS, like other foundations.
Wow, I tell you what, that's information that I really haven't heard anywhere else in the industry concerning blockchain. And that's what I heard, Robert, from you is almost like creating like a blockchain ecosystem. Is that accurate?
Yes. At the moment, we have, like in the beginning of the internet, we didn't know in the internet in the late 90s or in the 90s, we didn't know which internet will survive. With blockchain, it's similar. We don't know which blockchain, will it be the Ethereum, the second largest blockchain in terms of turnover, or will it be other, we don't know yet which of the ecosystems will be. But we'll see some different ecosystems for mobility, for banking. We'll see the Ripple is for banking and important ecosystem. Maybe there will be also kind of shared cybersecurity approach, where all cybersecurity companies work together and provide end users opportunities, provide for developers. It's thinkable that it's not only one or two, three large enterprises, but there is an ecosystem of cyber security for cyber safety or security, and everyone is contributing. It's kind of a sharing economy. And maybe there will be competing ecosystems in the beginning, but one then could survive. And this one is like the internet. You can say, like, who belongs to the internet? Who is the owner of the internet? Nobody or everybody. This could happen to blockchain in the long run, too.
Wow. I tell you what, that's That's interesting and both exciting. One of the things is I introduce the probability of using blockchain as a cybersecurity solution. I actually work a lot with the government now, and more specifically the DHA, the Department of Health Agency. That is super important. And I have, kind of voiced the introduction of potentially using a blockchain technology as a solution for their cybersecurity needs. Now, what I've noticed is not a lot of people know anything about blockchain except for cryptocurrency and how it's used, and that it's used in cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
They have no idea of how it can be used, to secure their data and their networks. What is a big pushback that you're hearing in the industry as you introduce it to different organizations? If you have that opportunity, what are some of the things, and how, I guess the first part of the question is, what are some of the pushbacks that you experience, and how do you think we can actually get past them? Like, maybe I'm thinking we could create some type of education about blockchain that would spread throughout the industry, but I'd like to hear more about what you think. Number one, what are the hurdles that you see and the pushbacks that you get from industries, and then what do you think are some solutions that how we can get past that?
There are still many hurdles to overcome, many pushbacks. First of all, the blockchain technology is still in its infancy. So it's just starting to become mainstream. It's at the very beginning, the internet in the 1995, 1996, where the internet was very slow, no usability. Blockchain has still a long way to go. Yes, at the very, very beginning. And this makes it blockchain database a very expensive, slow database. That's for sure. But blockchain is very safe. So if you take the Bitcoin, which is the main application is the cryptocurrency, but we can also see energy blockchains. For instance, there's a so-called Energy Web Foundation, which promotes a worldwide blockchain for energy applications, and they provide it for free to everybody. So a faster blockchain, and there is also blockchain for Internet of Things. It's in Germany, a German project, which is called IOTA. IOTA is IoT, it's a big database, which is very fast, and it's for the Internet of Things, that we can combine things and make it secure and talk to each other. Secure, make the coffee machine talk with the refrigerator and the stove and the oven and our mobile phones that we can order. So we need to blockchain cannot be seen as a single technology, but it must be seen in the connection with other technologies, with artificial intelligence, with robotics, with Internet of Things. So blockchain makes very much sense as a part of a broader picture. And blockchain, you can transfer values. That's the main application. So you can transfer currency, but you can also transfer units of energy, units of kilometers, and so on. You can transfer that. With email, you can do that too. You can transfer an email, but you usually keep a copy. If I send you, Andre, an email, then I keep a copy. With blockchain, you send something out, kind of email, but you cannot get it back. It's gone forever for you, unless the person sends it back. It's like with money. If you give it away and if you transfer the money, then it's gone. You have no access anymore. So that's the idea of blockchain. You can transfer value. That's one of the pushback of the internet. Yeah, that was a problem with the internet, and blockchain solves that. But blockchain is in the beginning, and it does not solve it very properly at the moment. But we will see that coming.
Wow! I tell you what, you said a mouthful. I'm going to say real quick. I'm going to ask a question really quick also, and then before you answer, we'll go to a break. But the question is more geared towards one of the things you said about one of the projects you're actually doing in Germany, and that's with the IoT and these different devices talking to each other. The question I have is that on a hardware layer, or is that hardware, software, or is it both? So real quick, we're going to go to a break, and then we'll come back and we'll answer that question. So we're here with New Cyber Frontier. We're taking a break for our sponsors. And just a minute, we'll be right back with...
Over 3 million data breaches happen every single day. That's over 2,000 records being compromised every minute. So often, we focus on securing web data access. But what if the attackers are already inside, having gained direct access to your storage through data management software? When it comes to communications that go directly into your storage devices, make SNIA your first line of protection. SNIA's conformance testing limits outdated communications that are known to be used by attackers. It works continuously behind the background to make sure your storage is protected. To find out if your data is truly secure, visit our website at www.snia.org/cybertest.
All right, we're back here at New Cyber Frontier. And first of all, we'd like to also thank Mr. Robert Schwertner for being here. And we'd also like to give a really big shout out to SecureSet and allowing us to use our facility here to continue bringing you this amazing show. Thank you again for tuning in. And
thank you.
Okay, Robert, there was a question I posed about hardware layer, software layer, in terms of how these IoT devices are communicating in the project that you mentioned in Germany.
Yeah, at the moment, we are mainly on a software layer, so it's software-based. But we see already, I'm working for an energy blockchain project. It's called Solara, S-O-Solara, so like Solara.
Yeah.
And this is a solar project. It's a solar project. And what they did, the developers there started with a SIM card, you know, SIM card, which is blockchainified. So you have already a small blockchain application, hardware, encrypted on a SIM card. There's a project in the Philippines, and they use this Hong Kong, Australia project, uses now for photovoltaic devices, and they get kind of certificate of origin of electricity, of solar electricity, because electricity has no earmark, so it's hard to see where the electricity comes from. So what they want to do is what they want to ensure that the electricity can be traced, and that it can be made sure that the photovoltaic electricity which is produced is in fact from photovoltaic and not from other sources. So that's one of the applications. Other applications in the energy business are that you can share electricity, that photovoltaic or green energy devices like wind energy and so on can be directly brought to the end users and not going through the utility companies. That's where you have an unbundling of the energy infrastructure and the transmission of the energy. That's possible, and in many states, many countries, it's possible. And this is one of the applications of blockchain. But definitely, at the moment, we are at a software level. Yeah, there is the hardware still will follow.
Wow.
Like in so many other cases, like an internet case. Yeah.
Well, when you include it in both, that's going to involve an even more secure way of computing. And that's what we're looking for. Now, one of the other things I want to talk about real quick, your forte is energy, right? That's what you do, and that's where your focus is. When it comes to cyber attacks and what we're doing to prevent cyber attacks using blockchain, what I hear, industry-wide, and I've worked for the DoD, is what they're concerned with, one of the highest risks for cyber attacks is energy. And how catastrophic that could be for not only the United States, but the world. And so I'd like to talk a little bit more about how blockchain is going to be protecting not just your company, but energy companies across the globe.
Blockchain will not protect energy companies.
Huh?
Blockchain will protect blockchain technology can be used to make the grid safer. So the energy companies, maybe in future, will have, they have large distribution companies. But in future, it could be that in intelligent, so-called smart grid, the grid itself is managed by artificial intelligence manages itself and doesn't need large corporations like now, where people sit and on the steering wheel of the energy market and on the energy control unit. But we will see this in an automated way. And so I see blockchain as a very important part when it comes to communication communication-wise, because the vulnerability in the energy sector is, of course, infrastructure first, but second is the communication of electricity. When you can shut down a whole city like Colorado, you shut down the main supply, then it's a problem. And this is done through communication, and there is a vulnerability. And there I see the chances. Blockchain is not too, because blockchain has a different philosophy. It's platform-based, so it will not directly protect a single utility company. No, that's it needs other measures. But blockchain can make the energy distribution much safer.
Yes. I tell you what, that's great clarity. Difference. So what I heard from you is that blockchain is not meant to protect any single entity, but it's really meant to connect to protect the communication of any entity throughout this ecosystem that would be blockchain. Yeah. It wouldn't matter because it's all about the communication and how not just energy companies are communicating, but every IoT, every single entity that's communicating about anything. Is that true?
Yes, true. I mean, this blockchain, as I mentioned already, it's a distributed database. So it's a distributed network. It's a network of nodes, like the internet. It's similar to the internet, but it's completely decentralized. So you cannot really grab blockchain. Like, it's hard to grab the internet, but still, you can hold on to certain servers. You can bring it down to servers where these servers are communicating. But with blockchain, it's every device, like the mobile phone, the laptop you're sitting in front, maybe, and also our listeners here of New Cyber Frontier, they hold the device.
Right.
And this device is part of the blockchain. And there is all a direct link, not via a server in the background. Now we have a server base. Every device is linked to a certain server, to provider, service provider. This blockchain will change. And that's a revolution I see. And that's why I'm also so excited about blockchain, because there are so many nice possibilities. It can, you know, it can offer so much. And that's where I see the revolution. The revolution will not come overnight. It will come over years. We didn't get internet overnight. We will not get blockchain overnight, but it's slowly developing. And I see a bright future for blockchain. Maybe some cryptocurrencies will die. I don't care. Cryptocurrency is a very specific field, a very specific application of blockchain, but the blockchain technology will stay.
Well, this blockchain eco that you're introducing on this show, and I thank you again for your expertise. This is a lot of information that I've not even heard before. I think it's valuable to the listeners as well as everyone who's out there listening right now and actually involved in the show. I mean, Chris is probably going to listen to this and he's going to be tickled pink because this is what he does.
Thank you very much, Andre.
Yeah, no worries. So one of the other questions I have is, with this eco that you're introducing to me, because this is what I keep using, that word eco, because it's the internet of itself, it's called blockchain. Do you see another entity, a third party managing that entity? Or how do you see it being managed? Because right now, as you see the internet, it's wide open, like you said, everyone. So with this new powerful technology that we're calling blockchain, how do you view it being managed?
The internet is still managed, is regulated in a way, and also the blockchain applications and blockchain will be, of course, kind of managed. But the idea is that we have, and that's the new philosophy. Just imagine, you have now a little, at the moment we're dealing with computer virus. What is a computer virus? It's a little program which does things automized, in an automated way. And usually, if you have a virus, it copies itself, and it's kind of an entity. A virus is a kind of entity, a program, a kind of entity which does something. At the moment, a virus harms something. On blockchain, you could also think that we have a little virus who does useful things. A virus which does provide services, like they manage my accountancy on the internet. I put my all the invoices, the screens or manuals, they do the accountancy for me. So we could have, imagine a world where we have so-called decentralized autonomous organizations on the internet, and that's blockchain-based. And these organizations could be autonomous. They can run for themselves. And we have the philosophy also that they are not linked to certain states, but of course, the question is, will they pay tax? Will this distributed autonomous organization, DAO are they called, will they evolve? At the moment, we are at the very, very beginning, and this is really something utopia, but this could come faster than we think, yeah? Because we have computer virus since many years. Then we have nice virus, friendly viruses, which do nice things for us, and then we pay them for doing nice services for us. And nobody's maintaining them. But the other, the virus, this friendly virus, make sure that also others contribute to improve this system, this friendly virus. It could be a really nice world. So we have a new way of looking to computer viruses. Yeah? That could open up also for cybersecurity to develop friendly viruses.
Wow. Thank you for that. That was, That's something pretty powerful. Now, we're getting ready to kind of wind up, and before we do, I want you to just give us a little bit about the listeners. This is not a pitch or an advertisement by any means, but tell us a little bit more about your company, what it provides. Also, give us some information on how we can contact your company if they have needs out there, if they want to contact you, if there's something that you can provide out here to our listeners. Give them some information on how to contact you and what you provide as a company.
Yeah, I can tell you, for myself, I'm more, you know, I'm European of thinking, so that means we are here in this a bit conservative world. I will not push any project. I'm not really advertising, but I will explain some. Some I'm working with a bit, some not, some I just like. But I am a freelancer, actually. I'm a so-called blockchain influencer, social media marketing influencer. I also do, they call me evangelist, you know, because I talk a lot about new project, new visions. I have a blog, it's called CryptoRobbie.blog.
Okay, that's Crypto Robbie, just for real quick. That's Crypto Robbie.
Okay. There I blog regular contests. And what I see for the cybersecurity, there are some applications, for instance, for internet security, there's a project called EXO. And this EXO project, this is a new way of treating virus and cyber attacks. For instance, this is a blockchain-based project, and you don't pay an annual fee every year. You don't pay them, but you pay per attack. So just if the virus comes, you pay $1. So it's very simple, actually. And when you think how many attacks do you have, maybe 5, 10 a year, it gets much cheaper than usual services which the cybersecurity companies offer. So because if you have 1,000 attacks for the company, they get $1,000 and they can deal with that specific attack, because usually not only one computer is attacked, but many computers at the same time. So they get the revenue kind of based to their successful solving of the problem. So that's this blockchain philosophy. It's a bit different than the old world. And that's where I see. I work for other projects like a trading bot, yeah, or even savings management for small incomes. It's called Peculium. I work for a project, it's called Avinoc. It's for the flight aviation industry. So they do scheduling on the one hand side, and there is another project, GSC, where they do supply chain management. It's very important for the flight industry. You see, I mean, the flight air traffic, the airline industry is very vulnerable and must be very secure. So they are the first to think about blockchain. Governments are thinking about blockchain. I consult governments. And more, I also have a strong profile on LinkedIn. I have 30,000 followers there. Crypto Robbie, if you Google me, you find me everywhere. And I would like also to thank the new service, Frankie, to cover blockchain topics, because it's an important topic, and this is just about to start. we will live with blockchain the next years, maybe decades. It will stay. Maybe some cryptocurrencies not, but blockchain, this bubble will not burst.
Thank you so much, Robert. I tell you what, listeners, you heard it here first on New Cyber Frontier. His name is Robert Swertner, but we're going to call him Crypto Robbie from now on out. If you want to find him, his blog is out there. It's Crypto Robbie. You heard it from him.
CryptoRobbie.blog.
CryptoRobbie.blog. Okay, awesome. So we're going to break real quick again for our sponsor. Okay, actually, we're going to end it here. And we also like to thank, first of all, my name is Andre Hinton. I'm standing in for Abe Thompson and Chris Gorog here on the New Cyber Frontier. We'd like to thank SecureSet for using the facility today. It's an amazing facility. If you could see it, it's pretty awesome. We really like it. It made me comfortable coming in here. I could use some coffee, but that's okay. We really are happy about what's going on. Thank you for tuning in to Cyber Frontier, and we look forward to more topics like we covered today with Robert Swertner. Thank you again today, Robert, for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
The views or opinions expressed during this podcast are not those of Colorado Technical University.
Enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.